This is the SF Productions Podcast Network. How I Got My Wife to Read Comics, Episode 358. Can a comic collector of over 25 years get his wife to read them? Will she let him keep them? Learn more in this podcast. Let's go to the comic book lounge with Mindy and Mark.
A change in direction. Section 8 is back in action. Continuity? What continuity? A long-distance relationship? You may want to put the kids to bed before reading Airboy, and the numbers are in. This is How I Got My Wife to Read Comics for Sunday, June 14, 2015. I'm Mark.
And I'm Mindy. Just a reminder, you can go to sfpodcastnetwork.com to get the feed, other SF podcasts and blogs, or you can subscribe via iTunes where you can leave us a review.
You can email sfpodcastnetwork@gmail.com, like us at facebook.com/sfppn, follow us on Twitter @sfppn, check out tumblr.com/blog/sfppn, or call us at 614-321-9737. That's 614-321-9SFP. Well, we're back in the comic book lounge.
Yay!
Had some technical issues last week. And we've got 2 weeks of comics to cover. But first, I wanted to announce that you're going to see a bit of a shift in what we cover on the show. DC will still be in the mix, just not as much.
Yeah.
The Convergent event quickly seems to be a cul-de-sac in that it has had no real impact on the regular titles going forward.
Yeah.
I kind of expected it to do so. The regular titles have very much gone back to what they were before, but now with less continuity.
We didn't really think much of some of them beforehand anyway.
Right. I understand that they want to tell stories. I mean, that's their public statement on this.
Yeah.
More important to tell stories than worrying about continuity, but that doesn't mean just anarchy.
Well, you know, quite frankly, when you look at like a Sensation Comics, mm-hmm. they tell a great story and they don't have continuity.
Right.
That's fine.
Right.
If they could do the other comics like that, I'd be happy, but yeah. They're not.
Yeah. So I made the call to drop a number of DC titles from my poll after Convergence. Only buying the ones I really look forward to and not just the ones I get to complete the set.
Yes.
Now, that's not to say there aren't a few gems at DC right now, but it takes a lot of digging to get to them.
Mm-hmm.
And here's one of those. All-Star Section 8 Number 1 by Ennis and McCray. So this is the creative team that created what I thought was a great character and series called Hitman in the 90s. Really the only good thing to come out of the 90s Bloodlines crossover event. An in turns violent and then funny title. And Hitman, the main character, spent a lot of time at a bar and ran into a rummy who thought he was superhero six-pack. He told of amazing adventures that might be true or just alcoholic hallucinations. So he brought together this team of other losers called Section 8.
Okay, I don't remember any of that.
Yeah.
So.
Many of whom were killed near the end of the Hitman series. Now Six Pack is back. Starts with a sequence of Section 8 saving the JLA. And then there's a dinner party with this very witty, portly man, very well-dressed, and everybody likes him, who's accidentally given some alcohol, and it turns out he's Six Pack.
Mm-hmm.
So he decides to get the band back together to stop some threat, but with most of them dead, he goes to the Rolodex.
Now that was kind of a cool little bit, you know, the Rolodex.
Yeah.
Sort of like the old Legion.
Legion of Superheroes.
Where they had all the,
the tryouts.
Bad tryouts, yeah.
So when he's going through this, he mentions and then skips the other Bloodlines characters.
Mm-hmm.
Those are all characters from Bloodlines that you've never heard of since.
Okay.
When a new crew walks in, we get Power Tool, Guts, and the Grappla, who were all introduced in Convergence Harley Quinn. Hey, something did cross over.
And of course, I didn't read Convergence Harley Quinn, so.
Along with veterans Bueno Excelente and the Dog Welder. And alien bartender Beator. I am Beator.
So that's really reminiscent of something, huh?
Yeah. I only put that together recently. That's his parody of Groot.
Yes.
So he joins as well. But that only leaves you with seven members, and they need 8 members. So that provides the overall backbone of this story. Six-Pack happens to run into Batman, who is dealing with a parking ticket on the Batmobile.
Yeah, he had to go to that ATM.
Yeah. Because it's my, oh, well, it's not my bank, no. We get homages to Jim Aparo, Nightfall, where he says, I've been over backwards to help you people.
Ah, okay.
And Death in the Family, all swipes from that. And of course, Batman turns him down in the end. So it's off to a boy who's apparently going to be Green Lantern, because that's the next issue blurb about brightest day and blackest night. So.
Okay.
We have to assume Green Lantern's the next one to get hit. Now, here's what you had to dig through to find those gems. Justice League 41 by Johns and Fabok, and Action Comics 41 by Pak and Cooter. Both examples of, what, me worry about continuity? JLA continues as if nothing happened in the previous 2 months as we go into the Darkseid War. Bum, bum, bum. It's very pretty. Very cinematic, but it can't possibly fit into the rest of the DCU. Why? Because as we now know, Batman is now James Gordon and looks like the Tick. Green Lantern is now a cosmic vigilante and a fugitive out in space. And in Action Comics, Superman has lost most of his powers, the Fortress kicked him out, the public hates him, and everyone knows he's Clark Kent. So he wanders from town to town helping people, but always on the run. And all I could hear was the Bill Bixby Hulk music.
Yeah, all he needs is a little RV, you know?
So how did this all happen? Oh, that's going to be a next month's Superman title. So the new Divergent creatives that they made a big deal about couldn't get their first issue out in time, even with a 2 month head start.
Yeah.
So from here on in, you have to assume that each DC title has its own continuity, except when it doesn't.
Yeah, okay.
Now, I had high hopes for the Bizarro and Batmite titles, but both were really meh. I was like, eh, they're all right, but they could have done so much more with those.
Do you think it's going to be a matter of them working into it, or do you think they'll get canceled before they even get started?
I'm pretty sure they're both miniseries.
Oh, okay.
So it's not like they're going to get a chance to work into it.
So are you going to keep getting those?
I think I'm getting Batmite. I'm not sure about Bizarro.
Okay.
Long Distance number one from IDW by Zoller.
And of course, this was my pick.
Yeah, and mine as well. So we've featured Tom Zoller's Love and Capes on the show before. This is his new miniseries. Has kind of a tortured history. He wrote it as a sitcom for a reality show contest and then published it as a script. And over 10 years later now, he's created a comic book based on it. And it's a rom-com about long-distance relationships. And that's something that we really haven't seen in the comics. It used to be a whole genre of the romance comics, but they were very much soap operas than quasi-realistic things of what were going on. I won't go into the storyline here because I want you to buy it. But I did want to note a few points. The couple lives in Columbus and Chicago, which rather mirrors the two of us.
Yes.
Because I was from Columbus and you were from Milwaukee. And we used to fly to Chicago a lot to see your family before air travel became a baffling ordeal.
Yes, we would have our own share of CMH to MDW tickets.
Yeah. Zoller gets a lot of specific references correct. But at one point, he somehow drives from the Columbus airport to the short north via Polaris.
Yeah. I don't know.
Now, only people in Columbus would get that. But it's like, that's a long way out of the way.
I suppose if you took 270 around and then came south specifically to get Krispy Kreme donuts.
Right. But that's not what he was doing.
Yeah.
So the artwork is both cartoony and stunning. The story is engaging. I really highly recommend you go get this.
Yes, I just really enjoyed this one. And it really didn't have anything to do with superheroes
Not at all.
Or anything.
No, so. It's very much real world, just this couple that bumps into each other at an airport.
Yeah.
And speaking of air, Airboy number one from Image by Robinson and Hinkle. So there was a lot of buzz about this, and I love James Robinson's work. Plus, he was doing a Golden Age character, Airboy. So what could go wrong?
What could go wrong?
Well, let's just say this is not for the kiddies.
Not at all.
It's all about Robinson accepting the gig to write the book and then instantly regretting it. He decides to pal around with the artist for inspiration, along with hard drugs, booze, graphic sex, nudity, and lots of swearing.
So that is the actual comic. That's the comic.
Yeah. And after a night of depravity, they wake up and find Airboy, the character, coming in the window saying, "This behavior will not stand." So is he real or is he a hallucination from the last night's debauchery?
As you go through the end of the thing there and see some of the sketches and other artwork, I really love seeing the Airboy character in among the debauchery as it goes on.
And I'm sure this is going to win lots of awards, but it seems to be too much navel gazing. Unnecessary debauchery to make some sort of point.
But are you going to keep reading it?
Well, it's a miniseries. I will probably get the rest of it.
Yes.
Because I'm fascinated to see how he can turn this into an Airboy comic from this point.
Yes. It's kind of interesting. That's what I'm going to say right now. It's kind of interesting.
And I thought that, Robinson is very much in demand. It's not like he had to accept this assignment.
Well, but as the character of Robinson in the comic says, he's expected to do a certain kind of work, and maybe this was the opportunity for him to do something else.
I suppose.
And explore the other side of what his work is.
Yeah. Well, the numbers are in for April, thanks to Diamond and ComicsBeat.com, based, of course, on the top 300 books in terms of sales. And this is my last chance to mention Convergence for now.
Yay!
The event did put DC on top in a big way. However, the very early May numbers, which aren't broken out by title, but are showing in terms of publishers who did well, this did not last into the second issues of the miniseries.
Mm-hmm.
Apart from the two-month filler event, we also had normal titles that all arrived late. And there were actually a number of them. So we start with at numbers 2, 3, 6, 7, and 9 are all Convergence issues. At 157K, 146K, 122K, 120K, and 116K. And of course, event crossover things always sell. So this is not surprising. Number 4, Batman at 131K. This is the finale of Endgame.
Mm-hmm.
And number 14 was Justice League at 78K. This was the Darkseid War prologue. Number 15, Harley Quinn at 72K. And 17, Convergence Harley Quinn at 69K. And this kind of ties in with the idea that most of the LCSs purchased Convergence issues based on the expected numbers for their regular
their
issues,
counterparts,
their counterparts.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Number 22, Convergence Justice League at 62K. 25, 26, and 27 are Convergence Batman Shadow of the Bat, Convergence Batman and Robin, and Convergence Detective at 58K, 56K, and 58K, respectively. Number 31, Multiversity at 54K. So this actually started at 90,000 issues, and the guidebook of all the issues was the worst at 38K, despite the fact that that's the most important issue in the set because that gives you the guidebook of the new DCU.
And you sort of liked that guidebook, didn't
you? Oh, absolutely. I loved it. That's why I'm buying a Multiversity, hardcover when it comes out, just so I can get that quality set of the universes. Number 33, Superman at 52K. 34, Convergence Superman at 51K. 36 was Convergence Nightwing Oracle at 50K. Batman Eternal, number 39 at 47K. This was the weekly series that went down 48% overall from the first issue.
And was that the last issue?
That was the last issue.
Okay.
46 was Wonder Woman at 45K, and then Convergence Wonder Woman was 47 at 44K. 95 was New 52 Futures End at 31K, the final issue of that weekly's miniseries. It started at 77K, so it dropped by over half. Number 101 and 102 were Convergence Plastic Man and Convergence Infinity Incorporated, both at 30K. Worst of the Convergence tie-ins in terms of sales, although I liked both of them. And number 120, Earth 2 World's End at 25K. So this is the final issue of that weekly miniseries. It led directly into Convergence, but it did the worst of the three weeklies overall.
Well, I kind of think that that's because everybody didn't know where it was going and what to expect afterwards. How could you have something after Convergence
and,
with it?
And after literally World's End. And
yes.
Now we know, we already got the first issue of Earth 2 Society. Meh. Before we get out of here, it's time to play America's fastest growing new game show.
Guess who's on the cover of Entertainment Weekly?
After a long hiatus.
I don't know if Mark will even be able to play anymore.
I don't know.
Okay, and go.
TV related?
Yes.
It's one person on the cover?
Yes.
Is it a man?
No.
It's a woman?
Yes.
Human being?
Yes.
Okay, and is this person in a single TV series?
Yes.
And is she best known for television?
Yes.
Okay. She's the star of whatever show she's in?
She's part of an ensemble cast.
Part of an ensemble cast. And is it a show that's already been on the air?
Yes. Well...
it's the new season coming up of it?
Yes.
Is it on broadcast TV?
No.
Cable TV?
No.
Is it on internet?
Yes.
Oh, it's on internet. Is it on, like, Netflix?
Yes.
Is it a comedy?
I would say no, but
okay.
You know how they are.
Right.
I think it might, I don't know.
Okay, so it's maybe more of a dramedy. So it's not Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt, for example.
That is correct. It is not.
Okay. Is it Orange is the New Black?
It is.
And I have no idea who the star of Orange is the New Black, the blonde girl.
Well, it's not the star.
Oh, okay. Oh, so it, Laverne Cox?
Yes, it is Laverne Cox.
Okay.
Excellent job, Mark. I'm very proud of you.
All right. Want to remind you to go to sfpodcastnetwork.com to get the feed, other SF podcasts and blogs, including our From the Pop Culture Bunker video podcast. You can subscribe via iTunes and please leave us a review.
Email sfpodcastnetwork@gmail.com. Like us at facebook.com/sfppn. Follow us on Twitter @sfppn. Check out tumblr.com/blog/sfppn or call us at 614-321-9737. That's 614-321-9SFP.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
Bye.
Bye-bye.